my friends, it's Andy and Eddie coming to you in a very late, late version of Living Fearless Devotional. Hello, how are you?
Late version.
You just drove from Liberalville.
Yes, from LA, California. Might as well be another planet.
How was it?
You know, we stayed indoors, so we were pretty safe.
Very good.
Almost got run off the road a couple times.
Did you?
Yeah, I mean, the people there drive crazy.
Crazy people.
Yeah, they just have no patience. They're angry, frustrated.
Yeah, well, I'm glad you're back here in the OC. Where you belong.
In the OC.
Oh, I didn't put up our name. There we are. Eddie and Andy coming to you live again from Orange County, California. And it's a late version because we had extremely busy days. We had a lot of stuff to do today. And this is the first time we've been together since we woke up.
Yes.
So funny, huh? So here we are coming to you live. We need you to go to a couple places. We're going to have you go to the livingfearlessdevotional.com. That is the very fast moving wording you see down there at the bottom. Livingfearlessdevotional.com. That's where you'll find our Apple podcast where you can subscribe. We've had a burst. Was that a good way to put that? A burst of followers on our podcast.
Thank you, Pastor Jack Hibbs, for the shout out.
I guess we can give him credit.
Yes, absolutely.
If you need another location to watch our shows, if we get kicked off of Facebook or something happens, we're also on YouTube. You can find that channel by going to theandyfalcoshow.com. Theandyfalcoshow.com with my love, Hedia. That's just what it was. I'll change it. Oops, one of these days. All right, here we go. Let's get to the devotional because it's a long one. 2 pages. This is the longest one we've ever read. And it's for September 20th from Smith Wigglesworth. Devotional is the name of the devotional. The title on this one is, What About Manifestations? 1 Corinthians 12:7 is referenced here at the beginning. And it says, But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. The scripture reading is 1 Corinthians 12:1 through 11. We must never transgress because of liberty. What I mean is this. It would be wrong for me to take opportunities just because the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. But it would be perfectly justifiable if I clearly allowed the Spirit of the Lord to have his liberty with me. However, we are not to behave inappropriately in our liberty, for the flesh is more extravagant than the Spirit. The Spirit's extravagances are always for edification, strengthening character, and bringing us all more into conformity with the life of Christ. But fleshly extravagances always mar these things and bring the saints into a place of trial for the moment. As the Spirit of the Lord takes further hold of a person, we may get liberty in it, but we are tried through the manifestations of it. I believe we have come to a liberty of the Spirit that is so pure, it will never bring a frown or distraction over another person's mind. I have seen many people who were in the power of the Spirit, but they exhibited a manifestation that was not foundational or even helpful. I have seen people under the mighty power of the Holy Spirit who have waved their hands wildly and moved on the floor and gone on in such a state that no one could say the body was not under the power. However, there was more natural power than spiritual power there, and the natural condition of the person, along with the spiritual condition, caused the manifestation. Though we know the Spirit of the Lord was there, the manifestation was not something that would elevate or please the people or grant them a desire for more of it, of that. It wasn't an edification of the Spirit. If there are any here who have those manifestations, I want to help you. I don't want to hurt you. It is good that you should have the Spirit upon you. People need to be filled with the Spirit. But you never have a right to say you couldn't help doing this, that, or the other manifestation. No manifestation of the body ever glorifies the Lord except the tongue. If you seek to be free in the operation of the Spirit through the mouth, then the tongue, which may be under a kind of subconscious control by the Spirit, brings out the glory of the Lord. And that will always bring edification, consolation, and comfort. No other manifestation will do this. Still, I believe that it is necessary to have all these other manifestations when someone is filled with the Spirit for the first time. When the Spirit is there, the flesh must find some way out, And so through past experience, we allow all these things at the beginning. But I believe the Holy Spirit brings a sound condition of mind, and the first thing must pass away so that the divine position may remain. And so there are various manifestations, including kicking and waving, that take place at the incoming of the Holy Spirit when the flesh and the spirit are in conflict. One must decrease and die, and the other must increase and multiply. Consequently, when you come to understand this, you are in a place of sound judgment and know that the Holy Spirit has come to take you on with God. With the Holy Spirit, when the Holy Spirit is allowed full reign over the operation of human life, he always works out of divine wisdom. And when he gets perfect control of a life, the divine source flows through so that all the people may receive edification in the spirit. If you act foolishly after you have had wisdom taught you, nobody will give you much leeway. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak. Some who come to church services know nothing about the power of the Holy Spirit. They get saved and are quickened, and after the Spirit comes upon them, you will see all these manifestations. In love and grace, you should bear with them as newborn babes in the Spirit and rejoice with them, because that is only a beginning to an end. The Lord wouldn't want us to be anything but strong in the Lord and in the power of his might to help everyone around us. The thought for today: liberty is beautiful when we never use it to satisfy ourselves, but use it in the Lord. So I talked for a very long time there.
You need me to interject?
And I think everybody is tired of hearing my voice. No. But if you could, please comment and let us know what you think about this particular devotional. It's a long one, and there's a lot there, I think.
Yes.
And so do you want to help us break down Smith is talking about here?
I think I can, because I've been engrossed in this all day.
Really?
As I prepare for my article. Yes. Because, okay, so I'll back up a minute. I'm working on my article for the Christian Post, and this week it is about what is the decline in Christians who have a biblical worldview, the amount of Christians that hold a biblical worldview, Christians, not Americans, Christians that hold a biblical worldview, 6%, folks, 6%, meaning that the 94% of the rest of the Christians do not actually hold a biblical worldview. So that means a large majority don't believe in the Holy Spirit. They don't believe the Bible is the inerrant word of God. They don't believe Jesus is the only way, the truth, and the life.
So what do they believe in?
So they basically, it's a good question. And in summary, so this is a study done by the Arizona Cultural Center. And the conclusion that the author draws is that it's the result of being now a largely non-white, young, mixed cultural demographic that the church is ill-equipped to teach. Mm. And so I've been pondering that all day, and I'm going to get to how this reaches the devotional. And he thinks they're ill-equipped and they need to get more creative. And when I hear that, to me, it sounds like they need to get more smoke and mirrors and more light shows. Mm-hmm. And you know what I mean? And it's not that at all. It's this. It's what Smith Wigglesworth is talking about, is that we stop talking about what it means to receive the Holy Spirit or what it means to truly be a Christian walking with Jesus Christ. And so even though we have the smoke and the mirrors and people are singing songs and there's great instrumentals, we're trying to speak to people's mind instead of motivating them to seek the Holy Spirit, which only through the Holy Spirit, you have the power to transform. Hmm. If you constantly are trying to intellectualize your relationship with Christ, then every day is, should I or shouldn't I? You know, it's, do I walk with him today or not? Do I take a liberty or do I not?
It's like a mental wrestling match.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that you're constantly thinking it's your works and, oh, I have grace and therefore I'll do a little more sinning. Oh no, I feel bad. I'm supposed to be a Christian. You know what I mean? It's, that's not transformative at all. And so Smith Wigglesworth has been walking us through the Holy Spirit for weeks now, which is basically like, folks, we need to have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. The rest of it is we're playing church. We're not actually the church. And what he's saying here, from what I understand, is that we're supposed to, that people, when they first receive the Holy Spirit, like you've seen in some of the Pentecostal churches, because he's Pentecostal, is people wailing and flailing on the ground. And I love the way he describes it. The flesh is far more extravagant than the spirit. Mm-hmm. So they say, I couldn't control it. I was overtaken. And he's like, be patient with people that act a little Looney Tune when the spirit meets the flesh. But eventually that's got to go away. So if you see somebody who's still doing that, like the pastor's still doing that, and all of the like the showmanship that goes into some of those things, it's just, he's saying, if it's not the power of the tongue, if you're not edifying and using your tongue to glorify the Lord, then you're putting on a show.
Right.
And again, it goes back to my first premise. This is not about a show. We don't need to entertain people better. We need them to catch fire with the Holy Spirit. That's what we need.
You're on fire right now.
I am, because I've been thinking about this all day. I've been thinking about this all day because
I love it.
How do we defend the truth? And I, because remember, I have 20 years of conversations with Muslims. Mm-hmm. And so the Islamists, you know, that have been trying to wage this cultural jihad against America and the West have been picking away at our faith subversively, overtly, and we fall for it, because if we don't know the truth, how do we defend it? And if we're not willing to die for Christ so that we may be born again, then we will lose it.
Right.
You know, and they constantly think of us as weak and as feeble-minded, and we're not willing to die for a cause. And I think, again, at the root of that is that most people don't have the Holy Spirit.
No,
because they're not, they've been fed a false Christianity for years. And I think it's not just the boring churches where you fall asleep and you're like, but it's the churches that are about a show too, you know, and that how many stories have we heard? I woke up to the same thing, is that when after, you know, the first 6 weeks of COVID, they woke up woke. You know what I mean? Like, you woke up and your church was like, racial justice. You're like,
what happened?
What happened? What happened to Jesus? Isn't he the racial justice?
You got the Muslim Brotherhood pushing curriculum in our schools right under our nose.
Yeah, for decades.
And then we're going, you know, we don't want to cause any problems.
Okay,
we don't
there's more than one way to God. There's more than one way to heaven. There's a lot to folks.
And then back to the guy from India the other day. He says, you know, all these Christians, they try to say, and you go, well, that's true.
Yes, I'm sorry, that's true, but let me tell you why. Yes. It's important, you know? You have to be willing to lose things for the truth. And that's the thing. Muslims are prepared to lose everything for the truth. Mm. You know, they won't let go of the truth. I tried to evangelize again to my father tonight, and he was just like, good for you. Wasn't successful, but I was like, Dad, you know, do you understand like the crucifixion? Do you understand why I became a Christian? He's like, I think so. And then I just, you know, started to explain about the resurrection and the power of Christ to forgive our sins, mm-hmm. and how that's so much better than having to account for your friends. And he just smiled at me and he's like, that's nice.
Keep going though. Don't stop.
But that's the thing is that he doesn't abide by any of the tenets of the religion, but I actually think he's afraid of God. Like, he doesn't want to let go of the God he's been taught because he's afraid. He reveres his God. Mm. Even if he doesn't listen to him, he's afraid of him. Mm. And we don't have that fear. A lot of Christians don't have that fear and reverence and awe of the power of the Lord. And maybe it's because they also haven't seen the Lord move in miraculous ways. I don't know.
Wow. Danielle's just put flames. Like, you're burning her phone up or whatever she's watching on. Priscilla says, you're always on fire. And keep
that's planting my the two seed. Cents, yeah. folks.
Keep planting the seed. That's right.
Yeah.
When he was talking about the flopping on the ground, that kind of stuff, I was wondering maybe that's what's happening when I'm like Shamu in bed at night. When you say I'm like Shamu.
You're fighting your flesh, maybe.
Yes.
The old Andy's like, ah, I want to come back. And you're like, no, Remember, you saw the monster. Andy had this very scary nightmare where he saw this like predator monster, but it had his face on it.
Yes.
Yes. So that creature.
Oh my gosh! Why did it have to take me back to that? It's taken me months to drive past that place on
with the power plants.
Yeah, the power plant. We on the way to church, we passed these power plants, and in my nightmare, it was a devilish monster. But these big muscular hairy arms and
like the Terminator movie.
And it was climbing over the power plant and you know it was like it wasn't stopping it and it went and it was my face. It was very scary.
That's us, right? It's when the flesh meets the spirit.
And then I woke up.
That's what Oswald's talking about, right? I mean, that's what Wigglesworth is talking about right there. It's when the flesh meets the spirit. It's a blast. It's fireworks.
Sometimes I get up in the morning, she goes, oh, Shamu visited again last night. I go, get out of here. She's like, I don't know. I don't know how I do it.
And,
I, just, you
know, and the reason I think of Shamu for anybody who's been to SeaWorld is you remember when the big whale comes and goes up and splashes down on the other end. Yes. Wheeling about. Don't take liberty. Don't take liberty with the flesh.
I like what he said here, though. However, we are not to behave inappropriately in our liberty, for the flesh is more extravagant than the spirit.
Yeah.
Oh, I've never thought of it that way.
Yeah. And I actually thought when I read that, I also thought of pastors and others who take advantage of their gifts.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where they turn it into a show rather than focusing on edifying and uplifting the rest of the church.
And that's when I think about people when, you know, they talk about where they live. Like, I'm going to delay with that. Let me try something else. When they talk about what kind of, like, when we say we're going to say, well, you want to take the truck or the car? Right. And then people, but you talk to other people and they say, well, I can't decide whether to take the Beamer or the Porsche. Like, no, it's a car.
It's a car.
And that's kind of that flesh, right? The flesh that, yeah. that they want people to know what it is they have, and they have to show off, and they have to, you know, do it in on the phone. And when you hear people talking on the phone, right? No, I don't want to buy 10,000 shares of Apple. Sell those and rah, rah, and
well, and but people do that with spiritual gifts.
Yep.
Right. They try to show off the spiritual gift, and that's also what he doesn't want us taking liberty with, because a lot of people want, and you knew that the people that were having that experience in Salt Lake City was real because you saw how demure that lady standing next to you was all weekend. You know, she definitely did not want to be flapping around like Shamu. But you go to some events and I've been to these kind of conferences where people start flailing all over the ground, which looks a little bit like a show. And like he says here is that if you've been given a gift and you don't, you know what I mean? If you're supposed to be mature, people aren't going to give you leeway if you behave that way. If you're supposed to be a mature Christian.
Yeah. Like televangelists when we were growing up on TV around here. You remember those
guys?
Yes,
absolutely. They're still on, I think. None of us have regular TV anymore, but I'm sure they are somewhere.
No, and I think it also says something. I mean, you're an example tonight. I mean, Priscilla said you're always on fire, but tonight is that you could see like you're just in your
my zone.
Yeah, I see like spit flying out of your mouth.
I'm not spitting, folks. It's not true.
No, but you're just like leaning into the mic and you're just like, oh, not make believe. Hey, who just showed up?
My daughter just made a visit, a guest appearance.
So, I mean, it's not made up. I mean, that just comes out. And when you are sharing something that you're convicted about and it's not a show, that's just who you are.
And that's what, well, that's the spirit of the Lord upon me, because that's what I got out of this when he said that when the spirit is upon you and you have gotten to a place where you can at least somewhat control your flesh, then what you say should be edifying and uplifting. It shouldn't be some like nonsense and screaming and yelling. And because quite frankly, when I first got hit with the spirit a couple of times, I dropped. Mm-hmm. I mean, like I didn't start flailing around, thank God, but I dropped. Yep. So Now, when I know that there's a very like profound experience, my body no longer drops.
Right.
You know, that would be unbecoming of a mature Christian. like to think I was mature, I don't know.
Priscilla, for my boss, it's the Corvette or the McLaren or the Range Rover. He's really ugly with his money.
Aww.
Yeah, that's that. That's that.
Oh, yeah.
That extravagant flesh. This is also the reason why when I first started going to Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, and I met Jack and heard his first few messages and thinking, wow, God, I love this. And I think it's so different than what I've ever experienced before in church, but I wanted to know if that was the real guy.
Right.
Right. I didn't want him up there just putting on a show. I didn't want Absolutely. Him up there, you know, talking about, you know, patriotic things and voting and then find out that he's flying a Chinese flag in front of his house or something, you know? And so I went to somebody that has known him for 30 years. I think Bruce has been going to the church for a very long time and he knows him very well and said, no, he's been the same as long as I know him.
Other day he told us how much he was astounded at how much he paid to fill up his gas tank. And it was $35. And I was like, out loud, I was like, what kind of car does he drive that he fills up his gas tank with $35? And he said, he has an old Volkswagen. And I was like, he still drives an old Volkswagen?
Right.
So, yeah, he is the real deal.
Yeah. And so that really sealed it for me. But it's sad that we have to do that, though. I mean, have to ask such questions.
But it's a good test of spirits.
Unlike in Smith's day, he just went home with people. Like,
but that's another thing though, but that's where the Spirit leads you. You know, he's describing a life that's led by the Spirit. He allows God to have liberty with him.
Kind of wish I knew Smith now.
Yeah. I mean, we're pretty nutty. We went down and met two people down to sell you. We're like, yeah, we'll sell it to you for way under market price.
Yeah.
That's pretty nutty. I think we did our own version of nutty.
You know what? I was sharing that a little bit of that with David, a friend of mine.
Oh, no. Does he think you're crazy? What did he say?
Well, no, I went to a neighbor of where my other house is. And now I sound like her boss.
Yeah.
Or our other houses. No, I just haven't got out of the other house yet. So I went to a neighbor's house. He messaged me and said, hey, come over for dinner. I'm cooking dove and some stuff. So
I thought he meant a chocolate bar.
Yeah, no, dove, a real.
Not from his backyard, though.
No, he shot it. He killed it.
Oh, literally did shoot it from his backyard?
No.
From where?
You go to Arizona and there's a
dove. Oh, why? Their doves are better than ours?
Well, that's where you can hunt the dove. There's a season. September 1st. You go to Arizona.
Not duck hunting.
No. No, doves. I've gone there. I've killed them.
Those really cute ones that are
they're mean and nasty. They've got big old teeth and like, okay. And if you don't shoot them, they'll kill you. So it's like self-defense. These dove are crazy.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So anyway, he killed these doves. And so
you didn't go to the store and buy them?
No. He goes every year. I go every other year, something like that.
I want to go with him dove hunting.
Yeah. Well, why him? Why can't I take you?
Okay.
Okay. It's not about the doves.
Okay. Sorry.
I was just sharing while I was over there. So
fascinated by the story, folks. I'm just hearing it for the first time.
Oh, he made it so good, though. He used fettuccine noodles. And Alfredo sauce with mushrooms. The dove was sliced up very nicely and just seared on both sides. And Parmesan cheese on top. Did I say mushrooms?
Yes.
Yes, and mushrooms.
Nice.
Oh, it was fantastic. It's probably the best dove I've had. I usually wrap it in bacon and barbecue it. If you cook it too long, it gets tough.
I can imagine.
And so I think this was better because,
It was not about the dove.
It's not about the dove. So anyway, I share with him. I said, listen, I got, you know, my house, I had some people, they left a note. It was a great couple. They got four kids and they're just very sweet. And I never say call people sweet. Where did that come from? Anyway, they are.
They are.
And just, they were in a position where they want to live in the area, but they can't afford it. And the houses are way too expensive. And so,
what'd he say when you told him?
And I said, and he goes, yeah. He goes, why would you want to do all that work of like redoing it? And then all the time that it takes to do all that. And then waiting for a buyer. And then the stress of whether one's going to come up and give you the value back and what you put in it. And he goes, it's just like, yeah, just get rid of it. Like if they're going to pay, you know, something, that, you know, decent for it. And, you know.
So he didn't see the spiritual significance of it.
No.
That's okay.
It's true. I didn't really get that far into it.
Oh, you shy.
I should. No, I don't know why. It was a quick conversation.
Okay.
But no.
You were shy to say why you really did it.
Because I should have. I don't know why.
You should have. Because literally, Andy, he's being all macho right now. But he literally told me, he's like, he wanted to bless them. He wanted to create this opportunity that they may not otherwise have. And that's why the wife cried, because she couldn't believe that somebody would do that. You know, that was the motivation. You should have shared that with David. It's okay. You can call him tomorrow. Just kidding. You shared it now with our audience.
I don't know. Yeah, I didn't really think about it that much. If I would have, maybe I would have not done it.
No, I think it's really important that it's an accountability factor too. We stay accountable for the fact that that's why we're motivated to do it, because I think the enemy comes in after and is like, are you crazy?
Yeah.
Why are you doing that?
Well, that came in a little bit, right?
Yeah.
Yeah,
absolutely.
But that's the number I thought of when they were there in my head, I was hearing a number.
Yeah.
And so I just said, how about this?
And Danielle's on. She's saying, wait, did we even list the house? No, they left a note in the mailbox. Danielle, it was like me with Joshua and my producer. I had this producer, and Danielle knows the story where the Lord kept giving me a number, and I kept saying to myself, that's way too high. That number is way too high. And I was literally having a fight with the Holy Spirit in my head while I'm having a business conversation. So Andy, and it was a number that kept coming over in Andy's heart, truly from the Lord. And that's the number we gave them. And it's the number that made them cry. So we'll
because
see.
There are so many things, and I know we shared this before, and I don't want to go on too long, but I never go through my front door. I always go through the garage. You know, I drive into the driveway, back into the driveway. I hit the button and walk through the garage. Hedia can attest that she maybe came through the front door once or twice, but most of the time I open up the garage. I said, we come through the garage. When you're one of us, you go through the garage.
Yes. And we wear flip flops to dinner.
Yes. I mean, spider webs literally can be like on the front door, because I hardly ever use the front door. But for whatever reason, this one day, just a couple days ago, I decided to go through the front door, and I looked down and there's a note there on the thing, and they had just left it. And I never go through the front door. That's what's so crazy. I picked up the note and saw it. And I thought, you know, sometimes they type notes. Their what do you call that?
Mass distribution,
but it looks like handwriting. And that's like, I looked at it and I was like, is this like a real estate agent trying to look like, but no, it was very nicely handwritten. And it said, Chris and Katie. I don't know, from that point on, everything just kind of fell into place. And I felt really that this was God saying, okay, and I'm going to see what you're going to do with this.
Yes.
And I don't know. It's just what's happening. And hopefully we're going to be able to pull this off. She's crying because of laughter.
No, I think she's thinking about what a beautiful story it is.
Thanks. Oh, thank you, Danielle. Appreciate that. The fake handwriting notes. Yes, I've seen them. Yeah.
Right.
You got to look at it and you see, like, if there's an A, you find out where the other A is on. And if it's exactly the same, then you know it's, mass produced.
Yeah, no, it was just like torn off from a piece of stationery.
Yeah, God works. I named off probably 10 things. The only way that this would have worked is if God was involved. There's no, it's impossible. We talked about that. They went to a house down the street and they got chased off by the devil dogs. The devil dogs said, this is not the house, wrong house, go three houses down. And then they went three houses down, found the house, my house, and left a note.
Yes. And we made jokes about how every time we went over to the house, we'd look around and be like, we really should do something here. We've called contractors. Like, what should we do? Should we sell it? And both of him was like, yeah, we should sell it. And then we go home and go out and eat. And then he looks at the other day. He's like, I need to plant some grass. And I was like, you need to plant the grass? He's like, yes, I'm going to plant the grass. I was like, okay. A couple more weeks went by.
My last name is Jimenez. I can do this.
I know you can.
I've done it before.
I know you can.
I planted the grass at the other house. And they were in La Mirada. I grew up in La Mirada. They went to Friends Church. I went to Friends Church. They met in church. You met in church.
You like chocolate ice cream? I like like chocolate ice cream.
Oh my gosh.
Folks, God is great.
Amazing. Twitch is having a problem. That's the second time in a row. But just getting back to this devotional with everything that we've talked about, that, and then what you were talking about, that, you know, there's these people that for whatever reason go to a church. They claim to be Christian, but they don't believe in the Holy Spirit. They don't, they think there's more than one way to heaven. They believe all these things. I believe that if you would have asked me 10 years ago, I pretty much probably would have had that same thing.
Yeah.
Now
it
that
sounded
I'm thinking
like
about
you, actually. I didn't want to say that, but it's, it literally sounded exactly how you would have described Christianity to me.
But I think
before.
But I think that's why that's why really the planting of the seeds, though, is so important. Staying engaged with these people and inviting them to Bible studies and meeting people at the different events we've been at and talking to them and sharing with them our message and our story and talking about, you know, how God, you know, found you through YouTube and your experiences. And then it's just something that it's a harder, it's probably not harder. I think it's always, has it not always been this way?
What?
That you have a period of time where you have people that just go haywire. You know, I mean, if you look at the Bible, obviously there's all these stories that they wandered for 40 years, right? You have
but that was before Christ.
Well, I'm just saying there's always been people that go to the debauchery just seems to be a little bit more attractive.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, that's what you meant.
And so we're always fighting the devil. We're always fighting our flesh. Sometimes it goes like really full on, with Christianity is really, it grows.
Yes.
And then you have, well, nothing.
Do you know in 1980, 90% of Americans identified as Christian.
Wow.
You know what it is now?
No.
Less than 66%.
Wow.
And of those, only 6% actually have a biblical worldview.
Well, again, I'd say we just have to continue doing.
Oh, absolutely!
You know, we're the army of the army of Christ.
Absolutely, just keep throwing starfish back in the ocean.
We've had these emails from people, right? I was kind of just wandering around, and then we found your devotional, and then we heard you talk about Jack, and so now we started going to Jack's church, and
absolutely.
Then we, you know, decided to do a devotional. I mean, we've received those emails.
Daniel's like, bring him to church. Daniel, do you know that we will tell like the ice cream lady about our church? We literally talk about our church to everyone. Chris and Katie were no exception to that. We're like, what church do you go to, friends? Oh, no. Like, nice church, but you got to come to our church. So we're not only doing this on the airwaves, we do it in person to every, we were at a football party and all we were able to tell anybody was not only how great Jesus is and what a crazy life story he and I are living, but how great our church is.
Yeah. Danielle says she has a Chris and Katie. Chris was their best man. Probably not the same Chris.
I don't think so. They're a little bit younger than us, Danielle.
The church, yes. Let's get to these scriptures. Or did you already do that?
I didn't.
And the first one is, how much are you going to read of this one, the whole thing?
I'm going to start with the beginning because it says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know, and this is what I'm saying about people not knowing the gospel, knowing that our doctrine. You know that you were Gentiles, meaning you were not believers, carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God can curse Jesus, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. And there's a diversity of gifts, all given by the same Spirit. There are differences in ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing each one individually as he wills.
So
tongues
is
is one
of them.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely. But it's given by the Holy Spirit. So if you do not have the Holy Spirit or do not believe in him, then you don't get these gifts. And another point I was trying to make in my article is that our kids are fascinated with Harry Potter and magic and the occult. I'm like, my daughter wants to buy crystals. And I was like, get the power of the Holy Spirit. What do you need a crystal for? Like, do you understand the power of the Holy Spirit? I was like, it makes Harry Potter look like a chicken. It's, you know, like, why are we not teaching our children about the power of the Holy Spirit? There's nothing like it. You can move a mountain. You can tell a mountain to go into the sea and it would have to go. That's
a gift.
That's a gift. Woo. Tell the mountain to move. And it's got to get up and move.
That's a definition.
Cast out demons. And you have to say, go, get out. And the demon has to go.
I love that. I love it. I had a lot of long conversation with the demon.
No, you're not going to coax him out.
Oh, no.
The power in me is greater than the power that is in the world.
I used to interview demons as a sex crimes detective, and I'd have these long conversations with him.
Right? It was just, and you should have just said, get out. Lay hands on him.
I can't. I'm handcuffed to the chair.
Lay hands on him.
All right. Back to the scripture. Romans.
We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. In other words, carry and lift our brothers and sisters when they're down, uplift them and be a source of goodness in their lives.
And Ephesians 6:10.
The whole armor of God. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. So again, not in our own strength. It's not because you have this tremendous amount of willpower, but it's the power of the Lord in me. It's no longer I who lives, but the righteousness of Christ that lives in me. So we get no credit for it. But if you don't even believe the righteousness of Christ lives in you, what kind of Christianity are you doing? what kind of a Disneyland Christianity is that? You know, this kind of a kindergarten Christianity.
Wow.
Sorry, folks. I take this issue very seriously.
I was just going to say, being a Christian man with a Christian woman like you, I got to be strong.
You do.
I was just thinking, I got to walk up those stairs with you. I was thinking you might check me.
No.
Oh, my gosh.
I could still be dainty.
Are you going to be able to go to sleep tonight?
I don't know. I'm on fire.
You know what time it is. It's almost 10 o'clock.
I know. I'm so excited. I'm inspired.
I guess go right to your computer, start writing your article.
I've written a lot of this already.
Okay, good.
I just need to fine tune it now.
Yeah. Well, either way, it's still Christianity isn't for, I mean,
it's not
for wusses. And that's what they're trying to make out of everybody.
And again, that's
it's
what
it's not strength.
Did.
It's they're fearful people. Just such fearful people that are non-Christians or Christians that claim to be Christians that aren't Christians.
Right.
Does that make sense?
And other and other religions and other people telling them, your religion isn't all that.
Yeah.
Your book is false. There's a bunch of discrepancies in the Bible. There are no discrepancies in the Bible, folks. 613 prophecies that are foretold 2,000 years before the advent of Christ come true. How does that have error in it? And but see, they repeat lies over and over until Christians themselves start to believe the lie. We worship the same God. It's a mantra that Muslims recite over and over. We worship the same God. We do not worship the same God, folks.
Yeah. And then the people melt because you have some
scary looking brown man.
She, they, them with a mask on comes up and says, there are 36 genders and you're going to know it. And they go, oh, okay. I didn't know there were 36. No, you know, you got to be like, no, there's two. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
You got to stay strong or whatever. I mean, you go on to just any subject that they're trying to destroy us with and to be able to go back. Just in the restaurant the other day when he said, you know, the one thing I don't like is that they say that the only way is through Jesus Christ. And then you just said, well, yeah.
I mean, if you want to go to heaven, I mean, you can go a whole bunch of other places with other gods. But
yeah.
I mean, if you want to go to heaven, if you want to have eternal life.
And I think isn't Hinduism. Well, just the Indian culture, much like the Muslim culture where the man is not to be talked to in a certain way by women.
It's the second largest Muslim population in the world. Second only to Indonesia.
So you coming back with something again, I mean, he doesn't know you, but you're still a woman because even on the streets of the mean streets of Anaheim where I worked.
Right, the mean streets of Anaheim. There
were some areas that were mean.
Yes.
Where clearly. I got shot at. You know, again, you have to understand the different cultures and how you deal with them. Now, even though they're in America, especially in the sex crimes and child abuse thing, you know, if I was handling a Muslim case involving a child, the men were very mean to their children in some cases. If they had disabilities, they didn't tolerate disabilities very well. And so a woman police officer talking to a man of that culture didn't always go well. And we had to just understand, listen, this isn't about you being this. That's not about feminism. It's how do we solve this call? So let me talk to the man and you go just stand behind me.
Yeah. Right?
And then they would get offended. And I go, this isn't about you. This is about solving the problem.
I've never done well with that.
No. And so, but I love the way you just stood there. And there's a little bit of me going, she's talking to a guy that probably doesn't appreciate being talked like that by a woman.
I think he liked it.
Yeah, you might have liked it. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, absolutely. Yes. I do. Okay. I worked in terrorism, for God's sake. I sat down with terrorists.
I was just going to lean back here.
The last time my boss sent me to go talk to this one guy, and he was like, let's see what you can do. And so the first thing is that, well, people, and you know, a lot of the interviewers at Gitmo were women. Because people kept thinking you can't send a woman to interview a Muslim terrorist, but that's actually quite the opposite because they want to talk to you because they think you're weak. And they think they can trick you. So you use a little bit of French feminism. You stoop to conquer.
Can you show me a little of that after the show?
I show it to you all the time.
Sorry, this is a late, late show. You listening on the podcast at 9 a.m. in the morning. Sorry, when we recorded this, it was very late at night. All right. Anything else?
No,
Can we go on with more subject matter?
I think we covered it.
Oh, my gosh. Thank you to our regular watchers, Priscilla and Danielle. And thank you to all of you that have subscribed to the podcast. We appreciate it. We've seen, we saw growth in South Korea.
Oh, that's so exciting.
I think it was like 88 downloads in South Korea.
In South Korea?
Yes. Japan, we had 10.
Oh, my goodness.
And I believe that's probably from your shout out from the church. Remember, they're talking.
It's all from the church.
I don't think we had any from South Korea before.
Yeah.
And I don't know that we had any from Japan before. I saw these new countries that were highlighted that had come up. They had changed colors.
Yeah.
And I clicked on them. I go, oh, my gosh, look at that.
We're so grateful to our pastor, Pastor Jack Hibbs at Calvary Chapel Chino Hills for mentioning the website. And I've had about 100 subscriptions to my newsletter, too, and a bunch of views on the YouTube videos. Mm. And so it's really quite an honor.
Yep. Very cool. So thank you for subscribing. Just continue to share. Again, what we're talking about right here is that this type of thing just needs to continue. People need to hear Hedia's story and probably my story and where I've come from and where I was before. And again, I was much like some of the people that are being interviewed and being, polled recently. I was them 20 years ago.
Yeah. But, and you have some great friends, including Priscilla, who...
Yeah.
And people that message us all the time talking about how much you've described your walk has changed and enhanced their walk.
Cool.
And that's absolutely fantastic. And we will be announcing our new podcast platform by the end of the week.
Really?
Yes.
She's just announcing that to me too.
Yes.
Really?
I forgot to tell you.
That's so exciting. I have news for you too. I can't. Oh, no.
Okay.
Yeah,
later.
Asha. Maybe we'll figure out how to share with you. It's just another one of those personal things that are actually pretty cool.
Nice.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. All right.
Thank you guys.
That's a cliffhanger for the next show. All right, my friends, we love you. Thank you for joining us so late at night. And those of you on the podcast, thank you for subscribing and sharing it out with your audience. That would be,
that's
great. And really appreciate it very much. All right.
God bless.
Take care. God bless.
Bye.
Bye.